15, 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Ask if any elected members wish to declare a potential conflict of interest with an item on the agenda. There being none, we'll carry on. Because it's an adjourned item, we come to the matter of the police clearance motion by Councillor Byram, which has already been...
I beg your pardon?
No, we don't. We come to the confirmation of the minutes. So... moved that they be received and accepted, Councillor Telfer. Seconded, Councillor Velescu. Thank you. Taking his jacket. And all those in favour, please raise your hand. All those against, that's carried unanimously. Thank you. Right, well, looking at the agenda tonight, we're going to be hard pressed to finish by 10. So I don't know how keen members are to move the motions with notice that have been put forward, but all I can say is it's a very heavy agenda, but I'm in the hands of the meeting as far as that goes. At any rate, we have to deal with police clearances first. I note that it's already been moved by Councillor Byram, it's been seconded by Councillor Foster, and I'm about to be told by staff who else has spoken. Councillor Velescu has also spoken. So it's up to one of the remaining members to either move a procedural motion or continue with the debate. It's up to you. The police check one. Members will have read that a much more substantial report, or staff have had time to prepare a much more substantial report in relation to the motion. Councillor Hull? This should be. If there's discussion, we're in the middle of the debate. So if you wish to speak in the debate, you may. Thank you.
there is a distinction between the police, the National Police Check and the DCSI. They both last 3 years. One, the DCSI check is much more thorough. It goes back 10 years in terms of your residency. It's an active document as well, Mr. Mayor, where, say, the City of Marion, the Corporation of the City of Marion, is the initiating authority with this. If anything was to happen in that 3 years, the City of Marion would be notified. And it doesn't have to be a conviction. Okay, so it's an alive and working document in itself. So depending, there has to be also a consideration where you might end up. Now, if you end up a council rep on a junior cricket club, then you would need to have the DCSI done. So that you need to actually consider all these things. But, yeah, just in closing, if we do not actually have something come out of this place tonight in terms of allowing us to voluntarily submit and the council pays for that, or if you've got one, bring it in, that will be a start.
Thank you, Worship. The first point is that given that it's apparently ultra vires, I'd really question whether we should be voting on this motion at all.
Yes, thank you, through the Chair. I think that there is value in debating an alternative motion, as has been suggested by Councillor Hull. Should Council not wish to go down the path of an alternative motion, then debate on a motion which is ultra-virus. The motion cannot be passed in any event, so your question is understood in that regard.
Done that.
I think it's really paragraph 2 that's objectionable, isn't it? Well, actually, paragraph 1 is borderline because it implies a compulsion which the council is not at liberty to apply. So I rule that the motion is out of order, and I uphold the point of order. It's possible to move either dissent from my ruling or simply let that lapse and move another motion. Councillor Byron? Not at this point. I've given a ruling that it doesn't go any further, so we either let it lapse effectively and allow another motion, or my ruling can be challenged, but it does seem fairly clear that it might be beyond the council's power. So, in practical terms, to answer your question, Councillor Byron, it might be better to go away and work on it so that it's in accordance with the staff advice in relation to this particular matter. It could come back tonight as a question without notice, but as I say, we do have a packed agenda, but if we get to it, I'd be happy to entertain a motion without notice, which would be more within our jurisdiction. So, councillors, leave it there. Councillor Gard had a point.
Yes, I actually concur with Councillor Hull that...
Councillor Gard, I've just ruled that the motion's actually out of order. I've upheld the point of order. I let it go, but yeah. Councillor Appleby successfully raised a point of order. So that is the end of the item. Okay. I've invited Councillor Byron to come back either tonight or subsequently with a motion in a different form, effectively, and then everybody can have a fresh go at it.
Can I ask a question? Direct this to our CEO. Police checks are done now, obviously, from time to time, the staff, and volunteers. Who does that? Is that through a private company, or does it go through say poll or crim check or
thank you, through the chair. Police checks go through DCSI, so the request for the check goes to DCSI for the prescribed positions. If it is a SACOL check, it will go through to SACOL. We don't get an external party to do that for us.
Moved Councillor Byron, seconded Councillor Pfeiffer. All those in favour, raise your hand. All those against, that is carried. The only thing I would highlight, something that will come up later on, is that I did have the opportunity to meet with the Minister for Transport, and the focus of the meeting was about the Oaklands Crossing. So that's something that we'll all need to discuss at some stage. The Youth Advisory Committee update, there's no report. Deputations, Mr Squirrel is going to address us on the BMX cycle track. So please come forward, Mr Squirrel. You might mind the step coming up to the podium. Please take a seat or stand as you prefer.
Just get something out of my pocket first. Okay, Mayor Hannah and fellow councillors, thank you for allowing me to have 5 minutes of your time for a presentation this evening. I'd like to give you a quick presentation and a challenge as to the BMX track challenges and opportunities. I actually reside, at the back of my garden is actually attached to the BMX area. The issues that I'd like to bring to your attention, stone throwing, and I've actually brought some of Marion Council's property, and you can have a look at those later if you like, but I'd like to ask you, is it fair to find you get 2 buckets of those removed from your gutters and breaking the tiles in your roof with water having the seepage into your house? And for me, who's legally blind, it adds another component. I can't go up ladders, I cannot inspect, I cannot clear the downpipes that get blocked. The other thing is window damage. Thankfully, I've never had that, but I do know one person along our street who's actually had their solar panels, or one of them, chipped because of the rocks that have been thrown. We've had children who are getting car tyres and rolling them down the embankment, potentially causing damage to the rear fences. I have actually caught kids doing that, roared tar off of them, only to find a parent was watching them and said, they're only children. It is not an excuse. Dust. In summertime, it is a problem at this point in time with our windows and outside furniture becoming quite dust-coloured, and it's not unusual for that to be a daily occurrence. Debris dumping, rats and maintenance. It has been known for cars to bring trailer loads on the BMX mound where there is a road or a dirt road, empty and throw the debris down the hill, which then lands in the gully. There is, what I believe, a lack of council maintenance to that gully area, both to the embankment, preservation, weed control and drainage. There is actually a grid there, and I do not know the state of that because I can't see it, but I would wonder if that's where I had the infestation of rats coming from that I had to have treated, that actually was found to be coming underneath, burrowing underneath the fence from council property into my home, and there poses a problem. You may notice I've got a $25,000 guide dog. I cannot afford to have dog bait poison. I do not like the food chain of the potential for snakes to follow that rat up the food chain
no, that is not my dog with a snake, but it's there to pose the dilemma that I do not want to be in that particular situation. If I lose my guide dog because of that problem, because of the lack of rat and hygiene maintenance in that gully, then I am severely compromised. Noise. Yes, they have done some work on the starting gate, but when it is active, you get a constant clung, clung, clung every time it moves. Excitable participants. You do hear kids screaming, crying, cheering. You get children playing actually on the hill. The hill you'll see in a minute if you're not familiar with it. You get cars parked on top of the hill with adults talking and playing their music quite, I think it's loud. Privacy. There's the hill in question. The top picture is the one taken from my back garden, and quite often on a Sunday, that is full of cars from side to side along Annabelle. Outside of George's back garden, you can actually see the cars parked there, and you can see that we do lose privacy. They can see us quite clearly, as I found out last summer when I went to the clothesline, not wearing terribly much more than my jocks, only to find there were kids up there staring and pointing and laughing. And I suddenly realised, oh dear, I have got no privacy because there is no council barrier to permit such. Cars being parked. It is not unusual to find cars being parked in illegal or irresponsible manners, such as you can see in the top left-hand picture, parked on the actual pedestrian footpath, from which the police said, not our problem, council problem. The council after hours said, not our problem, police problem. What do you do? No one seemed to be interested. So I got some photographs taken and I submitted it to Roger Belding, who took further action. And we also were able to get the yellow lines repainted on the side of the road. Has it stopped? Well, the top right hand shows that perhaps it hasn't. And also recently, only 2 weeks ago, you can see that the cars once again mounted the newly erected pedestrian footpath that Matthew Allen organised, only to park on the grass verge and along the cycle walking track. The mound, that creates a lot of problem, as you can see in the top right-hand picture. They have, on the 14th of August, started to grow some trees there. There is still a gully there that needs to be filled in every time it rains, but at least work is being done to beautify and to stop cars mounting that. Issues have been going on now for several years, but despite complaints and photo evidence, there's been no definitive solutions instigated to date. We have met with state MPs, Chloe Fox and David Spears. We've met with past councillors, and we've met with the manager of a sports centre, but still nothing definitive has happened. Currently, because of the damage that has occurred, there is a mood towards cross-legal intervention if we cannot get definitive change, which we believe that we are entitled to be represented by the council to bring about change. Can I just mention the solutions? That's my last slide. Okay. Parking management and inspection to compliance is important. We ask for a fence to help the environmental and antisocial concerns. We ask for gully maintenance and the draining that is there in case we get a huge downpour. We ask for support for Janet Byron's proposal to move the BMX to a site where it can grow and meet the criteria for bigger events and international standards to be met. And we need solutions for generic antisocial behaviours from unsupervised children. Sometimes they're with the soccer club, not necessarily the BMX. And that's my presentation. Thank you very much for listening.
Thanks for coming along. Had a great presentation. I can see your point. However, with any solution, there's often other consequences. For example, kids will kick balls against fences,
And graffiti is the other thing. You're going to create a new canvas. Are you prepared to live with the consequences of the fence and participate in part of the solution, particularly with the graffiti, namely to report it so we can remove it in a timely fashion? So I'm just pointing out that with any solution we come up with, there's often a consequence that goes with it.
I agree. Ideally, in the real world, if Janet's proposal gets passed and it moves and that hill is removed, end of story, it hopefully would make life much easier. But we do need something in the interim, because what we're facing and what we're dealing with is very, very unpleasant at this point in time.
There's not.
I'll just move the motion as is.
I'd move as per the recommendation and like to speak. I agree exactly with this report that many years down the track, the festival having got bigger and bigger, a lot of what was done has been taken into our daily life and work, and also there are opportunities out there in the community where other groups and other organisations also have taken up some of the initiatives. So I do believe that this is an appropriate review of the Learning Festival, and that we can, from that review, look forward to taking the best of the festivals and using them independently, but not going on making this big event.
Just briefly, I think that the festival is a great idea. I have to say I haven't really participated much in it so far. It's very disappointing that the attendance has dropped, but I do think it's very worthwhile reconsidering the whole situation and trying to work in the most modern communication facilities of today, and thinking
and just to reconsider the whole thing to see how we should apply it. But certainly learning through life is very important, and I would support both support the motion.
Some guidance from you as to whether perhaps we should send a letter to the Minister for Environment and the Minister for Local Government rather than the LGA, given our stance.
Yes, sir.
If we're directly responsible, I think it's a good suggestion to send a letter to all those parties, actually. The two ministers plus the authorities shown by the
chairman. For environment and local government. Yes.
One of the things that's not really been made clear is what's the actual cost likely to be if this goes ahead in additional staff, training, etc.
Yes, thank you, through the chair. It's very difficult to estimate what those costs will be given the degree of referrals and investigations that would be required under such provisions are as yet unknown. The detailed information hasn't actually been provided by the Environment Protection Authority as to the numbers of inquiries that they receive, but we do estimate that it will be reasonably substantial. However, I can't give you a detailed answer to that.
No, I'm happy with the amended motion as is, and hopefully we'll get a little bit more information.
I would move the motion as is. That is, there is a very comprehensive letter at the end of the agenda, and there are a couple of typos as such. One tree was left out, and one number was incorrect. But we've sorted that, so I believe that it's appropriate just to take the agenda as the a motion as is. So I'd move that, and wish you to speak. Yes, just by our scrutiny, we have saved already the felling of one tree and three severe prunes. And that's just by asking questions. Tonight I ask the questions about 436C, as it's called. It's the one right down the bottom and the far corner, and it's a pruning. Now, that one is on the corner of oak and maple. Why the DPTI have there even an interest in a local street tree, I have no idea. Why they want to prune it, they haven't explained to us. It is very, very odd. Are they really going to put the monorail through in the next 6 months? I mean, how does that tree relate anywhere to Sturt Road or South Road? It's incomprehensible to me why they're actually pruning. So we need a lot more answers, and they haven't been given, and we look forward to the Development Assessment Commission looking very thoroughly at these prunings and removals, and we look forward to being properly compensated so that we can put in landscape mounding as entrance statements where it's needed on the corner of Sturt and South Road, and we look forward to proper recompense of the value of significant trees.
I can always support the mover. Thank you.
Rudy, can you be able to answer questions? Thank you, Rudy. I just want to be clear in my mind about two trees, 570 and 554. They're going to remain?
Yeah. 570 is, I think, the large tree that we're going to be pruned on the corner of Macadam. And I think that one has been...
It's come to light that we didn't get a good deal out of the Southern Rail Corridor. That's in a previous report that I believe you wrote, Rudy. In terms of the formula being put forward as part of the process with determining how much these trees are worth, so we can actually try and plant, mind you, you can never replace these sort of trees in my mind, but still. Is that a better deal compared to what we got with the poultry amount we got for the Southern Rail Corridor?
Look, just to clarify, the compensation we got for the tree removals along the Adelaide Pacific rail line were consistent with other councils. I think in this report we've indicated in subsequent discussions. I mean, my belief was that my understanding was the councils were negotiating a better deal, but in the end, they basically received what the deputy had offered, which was consistent across all councils. And so the formula, I suppose, or the methodology that deputy used is they have the 2-for-1 and 3-for-1 equivalent tree
formula for replacing the mature regulator of significant trees. And then the rate which they applied as equivalent tree is the rate that they prescribed, which it was for the railway terrace at the Seaford rail line, $77.50 a tree. So they apply that consistently across the, to all councils, even though other councils were trying to push for a better deal. At this stage you would think that they would probably apply a similar methodology on all of their other projects, and that's obviously something that Steve might reinforce. That's basically DAC approved and method of compensating. We recognise, and I think we all recognise, that the amenity value isn't really covered by a replacement tree of a semi-mature stage, and it takes a fair while. So the compensation method that we talk about is a way of at least recognising amenity value. Now, whether or not DEFTI will accept that type of rationale in terms of compensation is probably an unknown. Obviously, we're going to the DAC committee with a suggestion perhaps they might put a higher value on amenity, on the amenity work than what we currently do. What the outcome of that is obviously open to conjecture, but from a DEFTI point of view, you can sort of understand perhaps that they might see compensation better provided by improved landscaping and other amenity aspects that might be walking and cycling connections in a whole range. Then that may be a way of negotiating a better outcome than just a monetary value for the trees. And that's sort of a line we have. That's what an approach we used on the Adelaide to Seaford rail line. We actually got, I don't know whether council will remember, obviously there were sort of new councils, but we did negotiate, if you like, the fence to be moved closer to the rail line so we could actually get a wider verge that would allow us to provide an off-road bike path, which we were building along a section. So we did sort of push a line for additional assistance and cooperation that was not necessarily monetary, but it was amenity related. So, I think that's probably an option that you're more likely to agree to than one that is about, a higher price on the tree.
Just to make it up.
Perhaps, Rudy, you could answer this from experience, but I'm interested to know whether in the actual exercise of tree removal and pruning, would council normally have an opportunity to oversee it? In other words, be present at the time. The reason I ask is that DIPTI indicated last meeting that there would be some line ball trees that, in inverted commas, they will try to save depending upon how the exercise progresses. And I guess we have to be realistic about that. But I do believe there'll be shades of grey in the exercise, and then particularly with the pruning exercise, where a magnificent tree can really be compromised permanently if it's not done with some degree of care.
Look, I agree. Look, the experience we've had on projects where we do work with DIPTI is that our arbor culturalists work quite closely with their arboriculture people, and often they will meet on site and discuss the trees to be removed or pruned. I know along the railway terrace job there were trees that were not significant, they were smaller amenity trees. A number of trees were pest species, if you like, so between them, they walk the site and then they might decide that some trees should go because they are just of a very poor shape and have no real long-term potential. So, they make those decisions, and as part of the cooperative approach, if they're removing trees, pruning, they will do that sort of work. So I'd be fairly optimistic, provided we make sure that we ask to be there and our staff are available and make time that they get together. DIPTI are quite happy to work in that environment. It makes their job a bit easier. They've actually got council officers on site between them, they decide
you know, how much goes and how they clean it. And certainly these days there is no, you can't get away with pruning, you know, they, if we will employ an approved contractor, I would imagine that if we've got some concerns about it, we might say that, but inevitably they are, you know, people that are recognised as appropriately trained. So most of the time, I can't think of any time where we actually haven't been sort of unhappy. I mean, obviously unhappy that the trees have been gone, but, you know, your approach has always been done professionally and well.
Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to put it to the staff that I'm unconvinced that we were gutted by dip tie with the Southern Rail Corridor compensation, so-called compensation, which was around about $60,000. Now, if you apply the same formula as proposed in here, one of those big trees would be worth that more. One. And around the Marion Railway Station, a number of those big trees went. So you can't tell me that we've got a good deal. I don't accept it. I will not accept it. And the other thing is, the replanting that's happened thus far is a dismal failure. And where I'm going with this is that, with the leave of the movement seconder, I'd like to see this letter also sent to the minister and also to the member for Belder, so they know what our concerns are with these trees. So it's not done in isolation. Tree on from Annabelle Dygance's office has been carping with me that we don't kick them in the loop. He might have a point, and maybe we need to let them know about this one. Mayor, and it's in. Only a comment in terms of that, in the wake of the acting CEO's comments about treeing Marion, breeding Marion, we're actually got a situation where we're taking a backward step with this. Taken away. The value of these trees have been summed up quite well, but I just want to make the point that we often come up with ideas about, you know, beautifying Marion, greening it, increasing the ambience and making it like Burnside, if you like, and yet when we have a major project like this and we've got a good stand of old trees, we come along and decide to plough through them with a bulldozer.
My old favourite, I think, I'm just not quite certain of the page number, but in the X and Y axis charts, the unit is in millions instead of thousands, so I think you'll see.
On the page. mark rather than we're not quite the different court. So I'm exploring
question is in the page 124 on the Sunbury debtors report. There's a couple of fairly high, in particular one from sporting clubs and other leases. Is that mainly an item that we're already aware of, or is that new information? There were up to 88,000 or so in 90 days non-paid.
And their property is information that you're aware of.
Thank you. Would we be able to get a little bit more detail, not during the meeting, but subsequently on those people on payment plans, just so we know which sporting clubs are on payment plans?
Thank you. If it doesn't come beforehand, members might be assured that there's a forum session, I think it's probably coming up in October, on both the leasing and licensing aspects of council facilities and also asset disposal options. They'll probably just be overviews, but if the information's not provided by then, it will be an opportunity to go through in some detail. Certainly area of concern. Other questions? Councillor Hull.
I spent a fair bit of time looking at page 115, 116, 117, which is the funding statement, and over and above the list where we've got all of those event areas favourable, are there other things that we should glean from the funding statement? I know you probably can't answer that in three sentences, but I just wondered, like, is there meaning that we should get from the transfer from reserves, grants and carryover reserve, $13,000? What are we supposed to learn from those reports?
Councillor Chair, I just on, obviously this is the first month of the first of the financial year, so the information required is a bit limited and restricted. I suppose looking at the funding statement as a whole, it's a quite a favourable, the variances are quite favourable on most of the revenue and expense lines, so there was nothing really to worry about there. As a natural part of the process at year end, we do have to carry over any works in progress, etc., which will be carried through the reserves, so that will be fully disclosed at the first budget review process, where we actually detail the grants and carryovers there. So, from that point of view, I suppose everything is well under control, and there will be further information to come forward as part of the first budget review.
Thank you.
stuff up and say the wrong thing if they look at the report. So I'd like to push for confidentiality for the debate, so people cannot talk about figures and things like that if they need to. So I guess as far as the minutes, I'd be happy that the information minus anything sensitive is available for the public, and the minutes as well. But
quickly, if we moved for full confidence as printed at the end of discussions or before the end of tonight's proceedings, can we actually make whether it's the minutes, the report or whatever, public? Can we? Okay, thank you.
Look, on the event, please take into account what Councillor Croswell has said, so we'll proceed.